Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I have to correct a grave injustice done in the TMF INR Awards. I didn't get to the Monday night game. I left the Monday night football game off. I'm going to hand out a tandem TMF INR Award in this one as well. Jared Goff was fine. 20 of 28, 202 and a touchdown. Not a terrible day for Jared Goff. David Montgomery was a dog. 12 carries, 151 yards and two touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs had two scores as well, but he had 67 yards on almost twice as many carries. So David Montgomery's there. But I think we also got to go with Aiden Hutchinson. Like, Aiden Hutchinson was an absolute terror to Lamar Jackson. And I've pointed this out before. Lamar Jackson got sacked seven times for 55 lost yards. If you can sack Lamar Jackson seven times, you can sack any other quarterback in the league like 12. That's a ridiculous number. And part of the reason that happened was because Aiden Hutchinson was in Lamar Jackson's back pocket like all damn night, dude. He only had two tackles, both solo, one sack in the game. But another one where to understand the value that Aiden Hutchinson added to that Detroit defense this past Monday night, you have to watch the game, and you've got to know ball. And credit to Kane for chiming in and submitting. And by the way, just because I have not said it so far this season, the TMFINR Awards are absolutely awards that you can submit nominees to. If you think there is a TMFINR Award winner out there that we have not gotten to, submit them. And if I missed a dude, I will circle around and hand out a TMFINR award to that dude. I missed Hutch and I missed David Montgomery, who earn a one segment delayed my bad TMFINR award. Those guys were both fantastic. The run game opened everything up for Detroit. Hutch lived in the backfield of the Baltimore Ravens, and that is a big reason that they got it done as well. All right, let's get a couple of clips in here real quick. I don't have a ton of them, but I do have some that are very importante that I would like to get to. Raheem Morris, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta got blown out by Carolina this weekend, 32-0. We talked about that yesterday on the show. Well, Kirk Cousins checked into the game late, and there started to be some questions because Michael Penix Jr. did not look good. Is this a panic move? Whatever. So Raheem Morris, speaking in his press conference on Monday, got asked about that. Will you give Kirk a chance to compete this week? No. One word, two letters, no.
So you spend all that money on that guy, but you don't care about putting him in harm's way. That's just
right.
Yeah, that's just kind of messed up.
It's not that we don't care about putting him in harm's way. We care less about putting him in harm's way than we do Michael Penix Jr., who we believe is the future of the franchise.
I know.
Like, yeah, of course.
So that's you paid a lot of money for a meat shield.
Well, you paid a lot of money because you thought that Kirk Cousins was going to perform in a way that was going to justify keeping him on the roster for that much money as a starter, as I called when they signed him for 2 years to kind of be the tutor of sorts of Michael Penix Jr. But after the injury last year, which now we know at the end of the year, Kirk Cousins did not disclose to the Falcons how severe that injury was, and he did not submit it. And I get it. I'm not saying he was wrong for it. He may have been wrong about, you know, lying to the team, which lying by omission to me is still lying. But he didn't want to lose his starting job permanently, and he believed that he would have, which, by the way, to his credit, yeah, he believed correctly he would have. No, Kirk Cousins is the backup quarterback, and there will not be a point this season unless Michael Penix Jr. either goes down or has like a 5-pick day that he's going to get that spot back. It's just not going to happen. Let's see. I got one more in here for you. I don't think I played this one earlier this week, but I'll revisit it even if I did. Lane Kiffin and his Ole Miss running Rebels are hosting the LSU Tigers this weekend. That game is at 3:30 in the afternoon in Oxford, Mississippi. Well, Lane Kiffin is gently insinuating there is that some teams get preferential treatment even within the league. The SEC gets preferential treatment overall, and teams in the SEC get preferential treatment within
that
the league.
It's so shocking.
I know. I know. I just loved that he was doing his best to call it out without calling it out. And I do agree. Number one, because whether they're in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Columbia, South Carolina, or Oxford, Mississippi, night games vibes are better. Night game vibes are better.
All right, when it comes down to it, Lane, make your team better, then you can get preferential treatment too.
Oh, and I would also agree with that. If Ole Miss can put together, and I think there's probably three games, and we're going to talk about this obviously tomorrow and Friday as we rapidly approach the football weekend. I think there's three games where there are some underdogs that genuinely have a chance to win the game. And after what I saw out of the young man, Trinidad Chambliss, that is running QB for Ole Miss right now, 300 some odd passing yards, 111 rushing yards, scored rushing and throwing. I think they have a genuine, legitimate chance to beat an LSU team that I've been saying for 2 weeks now I think might be overrated. I think they might be overrated. I think that there's a Brian Kelly family game coming somewhere down the line. And while Lane always kind of has some comments like this at some point for the dudes, if Lane Kiffin has his boys ready to go, and if Chambliss is able to fly around the field a little bit, I think Ole Miss can win this game. By the way, if you didn't see this thing, and this was fun, Lane Kiffin's daughter, her name is Landry, and I'm going to say this with all due respect to Lane Kiffin. She's a smoke show. She is a smoke show.
Why is that all due respect?
Well, because I'm talking about a man's daughter.
Okay.
You know? Okay. Like, it's one thing to say that lady is very pretty. It's another thing to go, yo, boy, yo, you know what I mean? Like that, like, and that's about a man's daughter, right? Like, I would say that about my wife, but not to her dad.
Every woman is someone's daughter.
I agree, but I wouldn't say it to the dad, right? And this may or may not end up in Lane's ears. I'd rather not take the shot. With all due respect, his daughter's a very pretty young lady. And also dropped on the Instagram this week that she is now booed up with LSU star linebacker Whit Weeks.
That means she's dating people.
Is booed up? I feel like booed up is I thought that, I thought boo was kind of a common
that
one.
That could very easily throw in another letter in there, be something else. And it was just, I mean, they're dangerous words for you specifically.
She is booed up with LSU linebacker Will Weeks. They announced that on social media earlier this week, to which, of course, everybody that's everybody was saying, hey, nice job, Will. Good job, young William. Good pull. And given Lane Kiffin crap that his smoke show of a daughter is dating a bad guy the week they're playing the bad guy, Lane Kiffin, under one of the gambling websites that brought that story to our attention, put as a response to it, and I quote, take the over, end quote. Like, that's fantastic. Like, I appreciate him just going, yeah, she's a grown-ass adult. I'll make the joke, and then we'll move on. That's good stuff. Let me get this one going for you if I didn't just delete it on accident. Terrell Hatton is a golfer from the UK. And he's very good. He'll be in the Ryder Cup this weekend. And I want you to know, there's a couple of golf tournaments per year that I always give plenty of time to on this show. I will warn you in advance that over the next 2 days, while we are preparing for another excellent weekend in both college and professional football, one of the things that is a non-sports topic that I will be talking about the next few days, I say non-sports, it's obviously a sports topic. One of the non-football topics, there we go, I'll get it right, that I will be talking about this week on the show is the Ryder Cup.
I'm clipping that.
Have at it. I never said what I was going to say. I'll say it now. One of the non-football topics that I will be talking about this week is indeed the Ryder Cup. I love the Ryder Cup. I am jacked about the Ryder Cup. It's going to be a great event. Team USA, slight favorite over Team Europe to claim the Ryder Cup. I'm all in. And one of the reasons that I love it is while there are plenty of tournaments that it is very obvious that the fellows are out there doing a job, making some money, playing a sport that they just happen to be very good at, the Ryder Cup is special. Because the Ryder Cup is an event that it is very obvious, whether it is for the red, white, and blue, or whether it is for the other team, Team Europe, the boys want to win. Team USA announced yesterday that every golfer would be donating their entire Ryder Cup stipend to charity because they want the focus to be on the golf tournament. I'm all in. Well, one of the guys that I'm really interested in seeing playing for Team Europe is Tyrrell Hatton. Tyrrell Hatton found out just a few weeks ago that he was going to be on the Ryder Cup. And when he did, he was out celebrating with another young man on the event. And he told a story that reminds me to remind you that while it is a snooty nose up in the air game, golf can be a party.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rager. Rager. Tyrrell Hatton is a rager. I'm here for it. I'm here for the dude that just owns it. He's like, yep, I went a little hard in the paint. I may have imbibed a little bit too much, but you know what I did? I made it right. I left some extra cash in the room. I cleaned up my own mess. I'm a good guy, but also I love to throw down. I'm telling you, golf is as good as golf has been since Tiger's in his prime.
How did he clean up his own mess? I mean, where did he...
I believe the answer to that is the best he could.
So did he clean the sheets? Did he throw them away?
I think in that moment, what you do is you ball them up, you put them in the corner, you leave a little note that's like, do not unroll this until it's going in your big-ass industrial washing machine. All right. I think you wipe everything down the best you can. I think you leave $100 on the dresser and go, that's absolutely my bad, y'all. And then you roll on to the golf tournament.
That's just as bad as being in there and breaking a TV and all that kind of stuff that supposedly rock and roll guys do. Leaving that on the.
I don't think it's as bad as mainstream property damage. I think my man went out, won a golf tournament, was hanging out with John Rahm.
It would be for you if you were the one who went in there and had to clean that room.
I mean, again, that's what I'm saying. You leave a hundy on the dresser with a note that says, my bad, I cleaned it up the best that I could. I know you're still going to have to do some, so here's $100. Like, sorry and appreciate you. I don't know. Here's the point that I'm making here is not to get into the correct and proper etiquette the correct and proper etiquette of what to do when you are a disaster in a hotel room. The point that I am making here is that golf's got dudes in it right now. Like, golf has dudes in it right now. If you want classic, old school, kind of boring, quiet golfers, you got Scottie Scheffler. If you like a little personality up in it, you got Bryson DeChambeau. If you want kind of that younger, new age vibe, you got a bunch of up-and-comers like Ben Griffin and Bryson DeChambeau. If you want somebody who's just like, yeah, golf's what I do, but I also party hard, everybody party hard. If you want a walking Andrew WK song that also plays golf, you got Tyrrell Hatton. This Ryder Cup's going to be fun, dude, because it's a little bit of everything. By the way, somebody threw up the idea. Tyrrell Hatton is not just a guy who plays at a good speed on the golf course, like a good pace out on the golf course. Tyrrell Hatton is also a dude that is wildly emotional, like a heart-on-the-sleeve kind of guy, and gets very frustrated with slow play. Pair him up with the slowest player in the game, Patrick Cantlay. Put him on the same pairing as the slowest player in the game, Patrick Cantlay, because Cantlay will drive that man to madness that day. Will drive him insane. And for the Ryder Cup, I attack it the same way I attack football. If I can play some mind games and win this golf tournament, you're damn right I'm doing it. I don't care about the dollar bills. I don't care about the prestige. I want to beat Team Europe, and I want the Ryder Cup to stay stateside. If I can throw a couple of guys out there that change up the mentality of Team Europe, you better believe I'm doing it. Let's go get it, boys. We'll break the Ryder Cup down a little bit in depth tomorrow, but mostly Friday, when the event starts off. Opening ceremony, if you care to watch it, is tonight, by the way. Rain in the area tomorrow, so they're just knocking that out early. All right, when we come back, let's take a trip around the National Football League. A lot of news and notes to get to as we roll into week numero 4. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. This is the Fan Upstate. The 2025 edition of Mad World is open for the season and ready to give you the fright of your life. Mad World through the remainder of the month, open on Fridays and Saturdays, starting in October, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the week before and of Halloween. They will be open on Sunday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Listen, let me tell you about Mad World. Number one, yes, they have over a mile and a half of haunted trails and houses. And on that mile and a half of haunted trails and houses, they have got more scenes, more actors, more props, more effects, more scares than ever before. So if you have been to Mad World and said, you know what, we've knocked this out already, no need to go back, I am here to tell you, you are incorrect, because the 2025 edition of Mad World is bigger, badder than ever before. But maybe you also want to just go enjoy a night with your friends, with your family. They got you covered. Mini golf, VR zombie shooting, axe throwing, carnival games, Roman characters, face painting, bonfires, food and drink, 3D photos. They will make it a Halloween extravaganza that you and your closest will never forget. So go to madworldattractions.com right now and pick up your tickets. Don't wait until Halloween week and stand in those long lines. Go get your scare on right now. madworldattractions.com. Tickets are available. You buy it, it's good for any day that they are open. madworldattractions.com. It is the 2025 edition of Mad World. I got asked yesterday on a legitimate, real-life, nationally syndicated radio program, is Danny Dimes a legitimate MVP candidate this year? I got asked that about Justin Herbert, too, and that would make sense. Justin Herbert is leading the league in passing yards right now. I think he's either fourth or fifth in touchdown passes right now. But I got asked, is Danny Dimes on that list at all? And I got to tell you, I think the answer might be yes. I think the answer might be yes, which, again, why am I talking about the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts? And the answer is, A, because Danny dropping Dimes. Danny Dimes right now has the fifth with a tie between Brock Purdy and Drake May, but has right now in completion percentage, the fourth highest quarterback completion percentage in the National Football League right now. He has the third highest yards, passing yards, in the National Football League right now. He has the third highest yards per game in the National Football League right now. In fact, the only spot that Danny Dimes finds himself dropping down the list to any degree is in passing touchdowns, where he's sitting around middle of the pack right now, sitting around number 20. So slightly below average. And for the record, the most right now, if you're keeping track, is Lamar with 9. Rodgers, Goff, and Williams, that would be Caleb, the one I told you don't give up on. The kid's got some stud to him. Mayfield and Herbert have 6. Stafford, Allen, and Love have 5, along with Tagovailoa, Bo Nix, and Drake May. 4 for Darnold, Murray, Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Spencer Rattler, Bryce Young all have 4. And then it's Tyrod Taylor, Dak Prescott, Patrick Mahomes, Jake Browning, Danny Dimes, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels with a trio. Like, Even the ones that he's down the list on and still is right around some names of previous NFL MVPs and NFL MVP contenders this year. So why am I bringing this up? Because to me, it is yet one more lay-in example of make sure that you are putting responsibility on the franchise to take care of the quarterback. Danny Dimes shows up in Indy, and the whole premise of getting him there was let him start or let him be a mentor for Anthony Richardson. If nothing else, a here's what not to do kind of story. And what did he do? He supplanted Anthony Richardson. And I'm going to go ahead and say right now, looks like Anthony Richardson's played his last snaps as an Indianapolis Colt, in my opinion. Now,
has he played his last snap in the NFL?
I'm going to say yes, because while I am also using this as an example to tell you, hold the franchise responsible for the franchise quarterback as much as you hold the quarterback responsible for the franchise and franchise quarterback, I'd also point out there are some guys that you can look at and go, this dude just doesn't have it. This was my argument with Caleb Williams. This was my argument with Bryce Young. This was my argument with Baker Mayfield. This was my argument about plenty of quarterbacks, many of whom have gone on and started performing better. Because sometimes a good quarterback gets brought into a bullcrap situation and they are asked to make chicken salad out of chicken, as the old expression goes. And then sometimes you look and you go, oh, you fixed it, right? Now, Anthony Richardson, I don't think Anthony Richardson was in a bad spot with the Indianapolis Colts. I think they have themselves a good head coach in Shane Steichen. I know that the talk about him as the future kind of backed off a little bit because they were disappointing last year. But look at what the Colts are now. Because Anthony Richardson ain't the guy. And last year you were asking him to run with a couple of obviously backup for a reason backups. But Shane Steichen, he looked at Danny Dimes and he said, maybe the G-men should look in the mirror and should quote that legendary American poet and philosopher Taylor Swift and say, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Maybe he's that guy. So they bring him in. He wins over the job. Danny Dimes is right there at the top of the list. I would like to also point you to Justin Herbert, who we talked about earlier in the show. Justin Herbert is an MVP candidate right now. He is solidly middle of the pack in completion percentage. But he's also leading the league right now in yardage through the air, 860 passing yards. He is tied for third for passing touchdowns. And in terms of rating and efficiency, he's inside the top 10 for both of them right now. He is a ratings guy sitting at number 7, by the way, right by Caleb Williams. And in terms of QBR, he's at number 8, right behind Jalen Hurts. So the point here is you didn't even have to switch the team for Caleb Williams or Justin Herbert. You just had to switch the way the franchise was operating. The Chargers said, this guy ain't the guy that's going to get Justin Herbert where we think he can go. So they made the switch. They went and got Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh showed up. By the way, speaking of adapt what you want to do to what your players do best and you'll be best. Remember when Jim Harbaugh showed up? What did Jim Harbaugh say? We're going to be a running team. We got running backs. We're going to run the ball. They drafted my favorite player in the draft last year, Omarion Hampton, who I still think is going to be a dude. Why'd they draft Hampton? So that they could give, if needed, and now we know he does need it, Najee Harris a spell. They could have a running back by platoon or committee if they needed to. They went and got Omarion Hampton because I think Jim Harbaugh said, we're going to be a run team. We're going to commit to that until it opens up the field for Justin Herbert. Except for the Chargers went on to down to Brazil in week number one. Justin Herbert was spinning the bean, and they knocked off the Chiefs. In week number one, they gave themselves a divisional cushion in game one. And since then, what has happened? The Chargers are not a rush team. They're not a rushing team. They're a very balanced team right now. But they are now going, hey, this Herbert kid, he's got something. He has thrown the seventh most passes in the NFL so far. We've got something here. And so now, Jim Harbaugh, who I firmly believe was being sincere. I don't think it was a cover-up 2 years ago when he showed up and said the LA Superchargers are going to be a rushing team that has a good quarterback, not a team that has a good quarterback and tries to rush. I think he looked at this year and he went, yo, this Herbert kid's got something. Like, we have figured out the system he needs to play in to be at his best. So they molded the team to the talent. Not tried to force the talent into the team. And would you look at where he is? Yes, they have only won one game so far. But as we mentioned just a minute ago, Caleb Williams, another guy. You didn't have to change anything but the way that the franchise was operating. Caleb Williams, in terms of completion percentage, last year it was at what, like 52%? 63. Granted, it's still good for 21st best in the league. But 21st best in the league puts him a 0.6 of a point away from C.J. Stroud. It puts him less than a full percentage point behind Bo Nix. It puts him less than a percentage point and a half behind Aaron Rodgers. When you look at the passing yards, when you look at the touchdowns, Caleb Williams is inside the top 10. I know it has been a conversation that has been brought up a lot of times on this show. I know it is a conversation that I'm sure many of you are tired of hearing me go on and on about. But the reason that I did not give up on and have not given up on and shan't give up on Bryce Young is Caleb Williams, is Justin Herbert, is Sam Darnold, is Danny Dimes. These are dudes, specifically Herbert and Dimes, that get out of the franchise, that drag them down, or the franchise finally pulls the trigger on a change to accompany them on what they need and not demand it the other way around. And now we got a bunch of MVP candidates. Now we've got a bunch of guys that are 25, 30, 35% better statistically than they were last year. That's why I did not give up on Bryce Young. Or Caleb Williams, or Daniel Jones. Malik Nabers said last year when the Giants sucked and everybody was coming after Danny Dimes and it was frustrating the crap out of me. Malik Nabers went in front of some media, in front of his locker room, and they said, what's the problem with your team? Is it you and Danny Dimes? And he said, it's not the quarterback. They said, what do you mean? He's got bad numbers. And Malik Nabers, a dude who has, since he showed up in the NFL, historically been pretty much a new Terrell Owens in terms of me, 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 I love me some me. He was the first guy to go, and it's not Danny Dimes. It is not Daniel Jones. It's the franchise. Well, look at us now. Paired him with a good offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach and head coach. Paired him with a good set of receivers and a solid run game. Danny Dimes is an MVP candidate. I don't know what to tell you. Indianapolis Jones, ladies and gentlemen. All right, what do you want to get to? Shoot me a text, 844-326-3663. You're in charge of the final segment of the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
FANFONE We got a text on the Hub City Spartanburger text line, which is that same number, 844-326-3663. We got a text on that text number a few minutes ago that I would like to read and agree with publicly. Earlier in the show.
Why are you using that cadence? We got the text.
Because I just reread it, and I'm like, I want to set this up in a way where it's got some impact and some power. So okay. I'm talking right, now, but thinking three sentences ahead.
I apologize.
It's all good.
I'm going to go over here.
We're in one room. Where are you going?
This is a big room. I can go over there.
So I asked earlier in the show to do something that we ordinarily do in the preseason. And that is to set now with a disappointing year, which I think for both South Carolina and Clemson, we can go ahead and say no matter what happens the rest of the ride, it is disappointing. The only way that South Carolina season would not be disappointing is if they were to win out, which would put you in the playoff, but like not happening. Even if you played your best, I didn't think there was a chance you were running undefeated in the back half. Clemson, I mean, there is still technically a path to the ACC title game, championship, and a college football playoff berth, but you would need, for instance, Georgia Tech to lose three ACC games. You would have to go undefeated in the ACC. You would need them to lose three. You would need Miami to lose a pair of them. Like it's a single digit probability that you make the ACC title game, and then you'd still have to win that against a good team. So I think it is fair to say the year is disappointing for both of those squads. The question that I asked earlier in the show was for you as fans to set a realistic ceiling and floor for the remainder of the year, taking into consideration where you are right now, not just records wise, but where your football team is right now, how you are playing, who you have played, how you have played against them, who you have left to play, where you have to play them, history against them, et cetera, et cetera. Factor in everything that will impact it and give me your honest ceiling and floor. So far, Clemson fans have largely rolled with 8-4 as the ceiling. Like the best we can do is 8-4. I think that that is fair. I think it's 7-5, but it makes sense. You'd be slightly more optimistic than me. On the flip side, I have said the floor for Clemson is probably 5-7. I think that is really on the table right now. It's going to depend on SMU, Duke, Florida State, Louisville, and South Carolina. They could all beat you. They could all lose to you. It depends on how you run through that stretch. But I think the floor is you go from national championship hopeful to ineligible for a bowl game. For South Carolina, most of you as fans have said you believe that the ceiling right now is also 8-4. Possible, but I can't join you on that. I think your ceiling is 7-5. I think 6-6 is honestly more realistic. And I think even 6-6 is going to be a fight. I think your realistic floor is probably 3-9. I think there's a 3-9 possibility out there where the only team remaining that you beat is Coastal Carolina. Not that you're not better than Kentucky. You are. But you're better than Vanderbilt on paper, too. And what happened in that game? You flat out got out coached and you gave up. The Mizzou game. What happened in that game? I think you're probably about even on paper with Mizzou. I think you got out coached in that game. I will say I don't think you gave up in that game, but I think you got out coached in that game. And if that is the case, if that is the spot that you were in, then like I said about Clemson earlier, all I can judge on, I mean, I can judge on sentimentality. I can judge on, well, you know, bounce back and attitude, and you had a meeting and some tough conversations were had, and I think that that's going to lead you to X, Y, and Z, and maybe it does. But I can't predict and prognosticate on anything other than what you have on tape. And what I have seen on tape from both of these teams are two teams that, first off, are not coached exceptionally well, and that's a bigger problem for South Carolina, I think. But two teams that aren't coached particularly well, have not really developed players the way that I expected them to over the offseason, have an issue with play calling repeatedly, and two teams that, if they get punched in the face early in games, have to rely on something to give them a spark. South Carolina twice, Virginia Tech and South Carolina State, the two games you played, relied on a spark of a punt return from Vakari Swain. If you're a team that relies on your special teams, not to be good, but to give you that spark, I have real bad news. You're not a good football team. That's just kind of where you are. So, specifically about South Carolina, the text that I referenced that I wanted to bring up, because as I've said, if you ask me for the number one issue with these two teams, for South Carolina, the number one issue that I have with that team right now is I think you have an offensive coordinator that does the worst thing that I think an offensive coordinator or play calling head coach can do. And that is we are going to run these plays the way they are run on this sheet. If it calls for a 5-and-in, you run a 5-and-in. If it calls for a 9-and-out, you run a 9-and-out. If it calls for you to be a get flat guy at the sticks, you get flat on the sticks. Versus, you know what? What's on this sheet is a good guideline. It's a good post. It's a good way to make sure everybody knows around where everybody's going to be. But I'm going to trust my athletes that I have developed. I am going to trust my athletes to look at what is happening on a football field and go, what's on that paper right now? What's on that paper right now isn't going to work. Whether it's pre-snap, whether it's after the snap, whatever. To trust it. Joey texted the show earlier and he said, quote, Shula needs to dust off the 2015 Panthers playbook and run the same damn offense with Sellers that he did with Cam. That is the reason that I did not hate the hiring of Mike Shula as offensive coordinator for the Gamecocks. Because I looked and I said, let's look at when Mike Shula, who, if we're just keeping it a buck, does not have a long record of success. So let's look at where he did have the most success. And the answer is the first couple of years as the play caller for the Carolina Panthers when Cam Newton was there. So why would you not translate that? Why would you not? And I'm gonna make a prediction, prognostication, whatever you want to call it now. We should see more Lenora Sellers action in this game than we've seen in any other game. And if we do, I think you're closer to the ceiling. But if I see Lenora Sellers dropping back into the pocket, 3-5-7 step drop and setting up shop in the pocket and having to climb and look around and whatever out of the pocket, then I will come back here on Monday and go, South Carolina, go ahead and prepare yourselves for disaster. You're not making a bowl game. This might be the most disappointing season of all time.
All right, let's see if I can get through this because suddenly I'm having major sinus problems. All right, the first thing it's Xing is Jackson Dart.
Jackson Dart, a.k.a. now officially Jackson Start. The Giants announced yesterday that Russell Wilson will be going to the bench. They will start rookie Jackson Dart this weekend, a very highly anticipated start because Jackson Dart looked pretty damn good in the preseason. Granted, not against top-tier first-string NFL defenses, but he did look very promising. And if you are the Giants, as much as I think you should have put this move off one more week until you play by garbage-ass New Orleans Saints, I get it. I understand it. The interesting thing is, 2 weeks in a row, Russell Wilson was the reason that you were in a game, and 2 weeks in a row, he's the reason that you lost the game. So I get why you're making the start, but what a tough start to have to go out there and try to duel MVP candidate Justin Herbert. That's rough.
Or he can go out there and shine.
Maybe he does.
It is a possibility.
Honestly, I'm pulling for the kid because I think he took a lot of crap going into the draft. I think he took a lot of crap. Oh, he's a system guy, and it's all because of Lane Kiffin and all that. And again, it's only in the preseason, but he's been pretty solid so far since he showed up.
All right, next thing that's Xing is Scooball.
Tarik Skubal is Xing because he went out last night as the starter for the Detroit Tigers. This guy was the runaway Cy Young candidate in the American League all year long. Well, last night, the Detroit Tigers went out and they lost their ninth game out of the last 10. And not just did they lose it, but they lost it to divisional rival, the Cleveland Guardians. And not just did they lose it to divisional rival, the Cleveland Guardians, but with the loss, the Cleveland Guardians have now caught the Detroit Tigers in a division that I thought a month and a half ago was over. The Guardians have now caught it, and they are 9-1 in their last 10, meaning that there is a very good chance the Tigers, who had the best record in baseball for a number of months, may lose their division in the final four games.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Matt Cardona.
I do not know why he is Xing.
Well, let me tell you.
Please do.
So last night during the match between Obafemi and that dude that's from Colombia, who's the current TNA champion, TNA invaded.
Invasion angle.
Yes, which was set up at the week before. At homecoming, it was set up because they didn't use any TNA people. So they showed up, and one of the people who showed up was Matt Cardona. And so did the Iconics.
Get out.
Yeah, they showed up.
Get out. Why would you lead with Matt Cardona when?
Because Matt Cardona has but he's been out of WWE longer. And
But the Iconics may be out of WWE, but they are still
Recognize them. I didn't recognize him until I read it. I saw it last night. I watched it. They have blonde hair now.
Yeah, but do they still wrestle as the Iconics?
No, they
have a different name, right?
They do have a different name, but I'd give you a name that they... And during the whole thing, Ricky Saints, friend of the show, Ricky Saints, just walks out. All this chaos is going on behind him, walks over and goes to grab the belt. And Obafemi, who had just been beat down, stands up and grabs the belt, and they stare at each other because that is coming up this weekend, which we'll talk about tomorrow on a segment that Rob has never forgotten about.
Not once in my life have I forgotten Fight Club tomorrow at 9:20 a.m.
All right, the next thing, we got two more really quick, is Marvel Zombies.
Do we have another one of those dropping? Because I got to tell you.
Four episodes comes out today.
Sweet, dope, love it.
Yes, so something to watch when you go home. And finally, I don't care how you take it, ABBA is trending.
Why would I listen? I'm not going to hate on
no,
ABBA.
No, you will, because ABBA is trending because someone hacked into Greta Thunberg's barge that she has, and are playing nonstop ABBA songs, which just
All right, hang on though. Is it just like Dancing Queen on a loop, or is she like, because if she's going through the rotation of ABBA, there are worse artists you could get.
No, I was thinking, man, that on a boat, that's great.
I guess
Greta doesn't like ABBA. That's the only thing I can figure out.
It's unfortunate. I You know, there's worse artists you could be stuck with listening on loop on a boat than ABBA. And I don't care what any of you say in judgment. I'm right. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, it's because you've got terrible taste in radio. Come back tomorrow. We'll try all over again and do better. We'll talk some football, wrestling, and more. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. This was the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.